Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
I realize that the title of the broadcast is anything but original. In fact, it's a popular hashtag, Never Cry Wolf. We'll get to that here in just a second. It does relate to a guy named David Avocado Wolf, who is the subject of our show today. A guy who has become hugely popular and people continue to share his memes and health and wellness advice online. Now, I'm going to get criticism because some will argue that I am helping to popularize him. And I'll stop you right there and say the guy is already popular. He has more than 9 million, almost 10 million likes on Facebook. And his memes and quotes and advice is already out there. It's everywhere. So he's not famous because of me. And I highly doubt the people who are listening to this expose of David Avocado Wolf and his names and claims, his advice, his wellness expertise, those who are listening to this show are not going to run out and become fans of David Wolf. Right? We call out religious claims all the time. But it doesn't mean we're promoting religious claims. If I talk about Christianity, and I do so very often, I'm not helping to promote Christianity. I'm helping to dissect the bad ideas preached and proselytized by Christians and Christian doctrine. We often expose bad ideas to help protect people from them. So you can gripe about the fact that we're doing a whole show about a guy that we're asking people not to share. But we're doing so from the perspective of, hey, knowledge is power. Let's find out what the claims are. Let's examine those claims. Let's examine why he's popular in this often anti-science culture, and let's speak out against it. Fine, what are some of the health claims that David Avocado Wolf is making? Well, let me just play some sound bites for you. This first soundbite is David Wolf's perspective on salt.
Here's what we found out. This is unbelievable. The reason why the oceans are salty is that's what's needed to hold the water onto the earth. If that didn't happen, the water would levitate right off the earth. That'd be the end of it. But the salt holds it on in the same way it holds it into our body.
Apparently, David believes in a flat earth. Check this out.
Optically is one of the things you have to deal with. Optically, the world's flat. Whatever other than optic, you have to figure that out. But the water also corresponds to optical flatness, too. The water sits flat. Your eyesight sits flat. You see it optically flat. You can get any bit of optical equipment like this guy had a great camera up here. That camera can prove to you conclusively that when a ship goes over the horizon, it never went over a curve because all you have to do is dial it in. It's still there. It doesn't go over a horizon. So the horizon is just going outside of your eye distance. So part of this whole thing about how we ended up with the whole ball earth theory is that we're super arrogant about our eyesight.
You'll never believe what we didn't know about the properties of chocolate. David Avocado Wolf tells us more.
Chocolate lines up planetarily with the sun. Chocolate is an octave of sun energy. In fact, it's the energy of the center of the sun. It's a male energy that comes down off the sun, and it actually, out of all the plants, the cacao is right on line, target of the center of the sun, which we call, in our body, the heart. And actually, cacao's right up with the center of the sun, which is the center of the heart, which is called the sacred heart.
And perhaps one of my favorite clips has to do with the mushroom.
Mushroom spores have been found at every altitude of the earth, right up into the troposphere, right in the ionosphere, stratosphere, everywhere. Every single height has been found mushroom spores because they can levitate off the planet because they're surrounded by a shell of Ormus, which actually is trying to get to the center of the sun. Occasionally, it gets slingshotted right off the center of the sun and gets propelled out into the atmosphere, into the solar system, and then eventually gets slingshotted out across the galaxy, like the way we do our satellites. And so mushrooms are, in fact, not from here. They're from somewhere else. They came here. They rode in on the cosmic wind.
You know, I was thinking about it. David, everything here, every atom in our body, everything on planet Earth, everything in planet Earth came from somewhere else. I mean, I guess you could argue it that way. Beyond these sort of happy-clappy, relatively innocuous memes and weird ideas out there, you know, the entertaining ones that we like to talk about over coffee, there are some insidious and often damaging ideas being promoted by David Wolf and his pages. That's one of the reasons I wanted to speak about Wolf and his claims on the broadcast today. And to help me, I'm going to anchor the broadcast with about a 40-minute, 45-minute conversation with Yvette D'Entremont. She is the Psy Babe. You can find her at PsyBabe.com. She's a former analytical chemist. She is a skeptic. She is a debunker of woo, and she has posted often on her pages about David Wolf. And the posts that she had were just so pointed and so awesome that she was my first choice as a guest for the broadcast, and she's going to be fantastic. She's coming up in just a few, okay? I want to start, though, with kind of a more formal introduction of David Wolf so you know who this person is and what he does, what his claims are in more detail. We'll get to that here in just a second. Allow me to introduce you to Jeff and Andy, two guys who decided they were sick and tired of watching a major razor company care more about profit margins than actually making a quality shave experience affordable to the customers. And so these guys decided to fix shaving. And Jeff and Andy founded Harry's.com. I love the close and comfortable shave I get with Harry's. No kidding. The feel of the razor is terrific. The shave kit's fantastic. I love the fact that Harry's lets me customize my deliveries based on how often I shave. I like the quality. I like the fact that by selling directly to me, with no middleman, they can offer their blades at half the price. Feel the difference. The weighted, ergonomic handle, the five precision-engineered blades, the lathering shave gel, the convenience, and the savings when Harry ships your shaving experience directly to you. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer for fans of this show, go to harrys.com right now and enter the code SETHANDREWS at checkout and get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com. Code SETHANDREWS. There was an article that was published on January 1st of 2016 by Kevin Senapathy, who is a debunker, busting myths on health, food, and science. The article was titled, A New Year's Resolution for Science Advocates, Don't Cry Wolf. And again, this was published in Forbes on the 1st of January, 2016. And the article introduces David Wolf so well, I'm just going to read part of it for you here. On December 23rd, this would have been 2015, on December 23rd, a group of science advocacy social media pages asked their followers to make a New Year's resolution. With hashtag DontCryWolf, the resolution was released to the internet world with a request regarding one David Avocado Wolf. In 2016, we pledged to never share posts from this man on Facebook. We will also encourage our friends to do the same. Who is David Avocado Wolf? And why is he worth an internet campaign? Known best as the star of the infomercial for the Nutribullet blender, build America's number one selling kitchen appliance, and a life-changing nutrition extractor, Wolf is a self-styled rock star and Indiana Jones of the superfoods and longevity universe. The author of several books, including Eating for Beauty and Chaga, King of the Medicinal Mushrooms, and seller of superfoods and super supplements via the Longevity Warehouse website with over 3.3 million Facebook followers. Now again, as of the time of this broadcast, he's pushing 10 million. That tells you how much more popular he became in 2016. More than Hillary Clinton's and Bernie Sanders' Facebook followings and less than Donald Trump's. And frequently viral graphics and motivational quotes, the man has a massive reach. Certainly, his touting the so-called life-altering cyclonic extractor is misleading, but relatively benign, despite its hefty price point of six easy payments of $19.99 plus an exorbitant $39.98 in shipping and processing. a glorified and overpriced, albeit effective, blender, its spokesman makes dubious and even impossible claims of the Nutribullet improving everything from aches and pains to menopause symptoms through its exclusive cyclonic action that breaks down food on a cellular level, a mechanism that might be beneficial for anyone who doesn't possess a digestive system. What's the big deal? It's just a curly-haired salesman hawking a blender. No harm, no foul, right? Let's head deeper into the lair of Mr. Wolf, who presumably loves avocados so much he tacked the delicious oily green fruit onto his name. Quote, "This man will dissuade your dying relative from seeking life-saving cancer treatment in order to sell them an unproven and scientifically implausible cure," states the Don't Cry Wolf pledge, which several science advocates with a combined reach of hundreds of thousands of followers shared simultaneously at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on December 23, 2015. Wolf has a tried-and-true formula to reach his followers, many of which he deftly converts to customers. Check out this graphic with an image of Mother Teresa feeding an impoverished child. "To be rich is not what you have in your bank account, but what you have in your heart," it reads. A heartwarming sentiment. It has received over 155,000 shares and 167,000 likes on Facebook. Another widely shared graphic on Wolf's page quotes George Bernard Shaw, "Beware of false knowledge. It is more dangerous than ignorance." Ironically enough, that quote underscores why David Avocado is a wolf in sheep's clothing. As Dan from a Science Enthusiast blog explains, the more likes and shares a Facebook post receives, the more people see and share it, ultimately growing the page's following. And despite Facebook's reputation as a place to share baby pictures and recipes, more and more people get their news from the social media site, which also helps sway political campaigns, influence public opinion, and transform grassroots movements into tangible lobbying and change. In short, this man's social media reach is a big deal. Here's why. Wolf draws in followers with cute, inspirational, and share-worthy graphics and posts, and then hits them with far less innocuous content. Exhibit A. December 29th, Wolf released a graphic with a quote attributed to Linus Pauling, 1954 winner of the Nobel Prize in Chemistry. Quote, "Everyone should know that most cancer research is largely a fraud, and that the major cancer research organizations are derelict in their duties to the people who support them." The quote reads in large white print over an image of the scientist. Despite the quote being taken largely out of context, Pauling was upset about a series of Mayo Clinic trials in 1979 and 1985 that refuted his work on using high doses of ascorbic acid to prevent cancer. The graphic has been shared thousands of times. Interestingly, Linus Pauling, known as the father of molecular biology, later became the father of vitamin supplement quackery, claiming that vitamin supplements could treat or prevent ailments ranging from rabies to AIDS. Pauling spurred the nation's obsession with vitamin supplements, now known to be based in little conclusive evidence. Most people who see this meme won't consider that twice as many people are surviving cancer today than a couple of decades ago, due in small part to advances in DNA sequencing and genomic medicine technologies, among other treatment and diagnostic advances. Cancer deaths fell by 22% from 1990 to 2011, according to National Cancer Institute data. We're now in the infant stages of treating patients based on genetic mutations unique to their cancers. And these targeted drug therapies, among other advances, are promising. But Wolf needs to convince his audience that evidence-based cancer treatments are, quote, largely a fraud. After all, a quick keyword search for cancer on the blender-peddling salesman's longevity warehouse site turns up over 10 products that claim to treat or prevent cancer, like UMAC UMAC Core Marine Phytoplankton that sells for just $109.72 for 6 ounces. Wolf's site has a disclaimer, quote, "The products and the claims made about specific products on or through this site have not been evaluated by the United States Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease." Nice avoidance of liability there, Mr. Wolf. Perhaps Wolf's most eyebrow-raising claim is his proprietary Longevity Zapper electrical, quote, square wave healing device, which purportedly fights infections and cancer cells alike while leaving, quote, negatively charged healthy cells intact for a low, low price of $297. And again, that's the article, A New Year's Resolution for Science Advocates Don't Cry, Wolf. I mean, you listen to that and you have the thought, is he a true believer or does he just realize that there really is a sucker born every minute? And that if you say anything in this culture with conviction, you can get someone somewhere to give you their credit card number. You know what I'm saying? You can sell anything for $297. The Forbes article had mentioned Dan Broadbent and his blog, A Science Enthusiast. Dan sort of went down the rabbit hole even further. He wrote a blog called The David Avocado Wolf Effect. Dan takes a pretty hard line with David Avocado Wolf. He says outright, quote, "David is a con artist. He preys on anti-sciencers by using pseudo-intelligent word salad. He's fantastic at combining a string of words together that sound intelligible. However, when you actually examine them, they're nonsensical. While David's website touts that he has spoken at over 1,000 conferences since the mid-1990s, a look into his, quote, presentations quickly reveals he's more of a salesman than he is any sort of expert. David recently did a, and he scratched out the word infomercial as a joke, infomercial, a presentation at the Longevity Now conference where he, quite enthusiastically, describes some fruit. But more importantly, how to use the Nutribullet, the expensive blender. While it technically does meet the definition of a presentation, it's a commercial, not an actual informative talk." And Dan's article gets into the use of memes, these touchy-feely memes that people love to share, which feeds into David Wolf's popularity. Dan's article talks about the fact that David, of course, has his own website, but he's also, quote, faculty at the Body Mind Institute. And for just $54 a month, or a lump sum of just $600, which is a savings of 25%, you too can earn your David Wolf Nutrition Certification and start changing people's lives. Dan's article continues further down. David's ultimate goal, aside from swindling people out of money, is to create his own argumentum ad populum fallacy. This is essentially passive peer pressure. David's gained a lot of followers because of his innocuous memes. David has a multitude of fans that are following him for different reasons. So when he posts these dangerous and harmful ideas, and he posts some specifics about vaccines and others, he has a sort of false legitimacy factor. Each like that he has adds to this false sense of legitimacy. So when you share David's memes, you're giving him free advertising. That's how the David Avocado Wolf effect works. And again, that's from Dan Broadbent from the Science Enthusiast blog, The David Avocado Wolf Effect. I'll make sure and put the link to that and the Forbes article in the description box of this broadcast. Yvette D'Entremont, better known as the Psy Babe, was first on a very short list of guests on a radio show that talks about David Avocado Wolf because she has posted about him occasionally. She hasn't shared his memes, but she has helped to expose the insanity of his memes. Is that an accurate way to say it, Yvette?
I think that's accurate, yes.
Because you were part of the Never Cry Wolf thing. Like, people stopped sharing his stuff because it makes him popular, but I'm addressed this at the top of the show. We're in this weird place where it's so prevalent now. It's everywhere. We have to speak out against it, and people will then accuse us of further popularizing David Avocado Wolf. So what do we do, right?
Yeah, it's one of the big things with him is that he gets more followers every single time. If you share a meme of his, and it doesn't matter if it's just a happy, fluffy meme that's just, here's an inspirational slogan. It's nothing pseudosciencey at all. And people see that and go, oh, I want to follow a page that has more happy little inspirational slogans. You go click like on that. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, after another three inspirational slogans, there's a thing saying Big Pharma is killing you with cancer cure. What? I didn't sign up for that. But that's how all of the pseudoscience spreads with him, is he, you know, he throws a lot of happy, fluffy things out and then, you know, sneaks in marijuana is a cure to everything and Big Pharma doesn't want you to know. At the top of his page, there's a turbine creates water out of thin air and the government's covering it up. There are all these things. It's mainly that, you know, the big government doesn't want you to know that there are natural cures for things. And that's what he harps on a lot. And he promotes fake cancer cures. And that's one of my biggest issues with him, is the promotion of cures that just do not work, have not been proven to work. And I'm sure that there are followers of his that believe this and have bought into it. And it's made him an incredibly rich man.
Is it because we're stupid as a culture? Do you think this is just, you know, we're in an anti-science meme verse where touchy-feely trumps truth? Do you think that's part of our problem or what?
That might be part of it, but I think that's an oversimplification, because I think people are very distrustful when they can't see a person behind the information. And they see this guy who's out, who, you know, they can meet. He doesn't look like he's untrustworthy. You can meet him at a convention. He's just one guy. His name, he has Avocado and Wolf in his name. We like avocados and we like wolves. Why wouldn't we trust him? He's not evil Monsanto. So, I mean, it's very easy to sow distrust of things that we can't see, these corporate type entities. And I'm somebody who speaks out about the science that Monsanto produces. So, like, I know that they're safe partially because I've seen the human beings behind those places.
You're just a shill for Big Green. You are a shill for Monsanto.
I mean, right? I mean, there were videos of me there last week. So obviously they're putting money into my expense. Oh, God, do I wish, because they, with the toys that they had there, they could afford it. But as I am a journalist who writes about them, that would be entirely unethical. And we actually talked about me potentially doing a talk there. It was established before I went there, no money would be exchanged. They gave me lunch. That was about it.
Well, I understand distrust. I mean, anytime there's money involved and people see some specific medications that are being sold for, you know, $700 a bottle.
And it seems like the list of side effects are worse than what they treat. So I get that. I get why. It's because I think part of the reason why we buy into these things that David Wolf says is because, as you were saying about, you know, the medications that are being sold, they sound really horrible. And we want to believe that we can treat cancer with fruits and vegetables, with cleanses, with marijuana. And that sounds like a much nicer story, doesn't it? We want to believe that we can control our health. And the only reason that we've gotten unhealthy is that we did this to ourselves, or that we can blame the people that got sick. And that, you know, people who do get sick, it's because they're the people that didn't take care of their health. It's like, no, the people that have gotten sick, in a lot of cases, it's genetic. They've lived past a certain point of life to the point where they have gotten cancer, because cancer in most cases is a disease of old age. But when David Wolf sells these things, he sells them with a combination of, you know, of his videos, a combination of straight out fabrication, saying that, you know, fruits and vegetables and cleanses and whatever he's saying, promoting the Gerson therapy, which has been disproven can cure cancer. But these things, they do sell because people are suspicious of the things that we do have to treat these really nefarious diseases. And I think people want to think that if somebody gets sick like that, that they had something to do with it, that they were, you know, somehow, quote unquote, guilty. You know, if I live a pure enough life, if I eat all these things that this nice, sweet man on the internet, this bullshit artist, excuse me, there was something in my throat, that if I do all these things, then I won't be one of the people who get sick. And that's just not how that works. Now, you can do some things that will reduce your risk. Reduce, not, you know, you can't control for genetics. There are certain things that you can't get rid of. But you can reduce your risk. You can keep yourself at a healthy weight. You can not smoke. You can keep your drinking to a moderate. I mean, I don't want to tell you to get rid of everything fun in life. But, you know, it's there are certain things that increase your risk of certain types of diseases that we get in old age. And those are, you know, keep active, keep your weight healthy. Don't drink too much, please.
So we go from that sort of all things do ye in moderation.
Exactly.
You know, lower the fat, lower the salts, eat more fruits and vegetables, exactly. Lean protein, all that stuff, right? To memes that are cleverly watermarked with David's name and Facebook page that talk about the colors of your health.
That's the thing he posted?
White strengthens your immune system. Oh, red improves your heart and blood. Green purifies and detoxifies. There's a word I know you love.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yellow improves your happiness. Orange lowers inflammation. And purple protects your nervous system. And he lists all these multicolored foods. People lap this stuff up, right? It's simple. It's, if you'll pardon the expression, easy to digest. It's fun. It's happy. It's bright.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's, I mean, people think, and people do think it's on the internet. You couldn't have said it if it wasn't true. And this doesn't sound like, this sounds to someone, to people like us, like complete, utter fucking bullshit. But to someone who hasn't been told, think critically about this shit, who hasn't been told about plant biology, about the fact that you can manipulate a plant to produce different colors, that the eggplant was once upon a time orange, that the carrot was once upon a time purple, do they suddenly make you feel different ways or trigger different things in your immune system when you genetically manipulate them different ways? No, that's not how that works. But, you know, you put this on a meme and nobody thinks about it and they go, oh, I need to boost my happiness. I'm going to get more carrots this week. What? Like, I mean, it's not the carrots make me unhappy, but still, that's not how science works.
David's got a thing about fluoride. 12 brands of bottled water that are full of toxic fluoride, his word. And he lists all these, you know, Ozarka and Crystal Springs and all these water brands. Fluoride. Can we talk about fluoride, Yvette? I mean, what's the story?
So fluoride is a mineral that helps your teeth avoid tooth decay. There's this weird thread that fluoride, because in large quantities is a toxin, in the tiny, tiny, tiny amount that we have it in our drinking water is poisoning us all slowly. And it's because these people can't do math. That's all this comes down to, is that these people cannot do math.
The quantity of fluoride would have to be so great.
I think the biggest thing is that these people are mixing up micrograms with milligrams or something when they're doing their conversion factors. And I guess because I've seen the math, I'm like, you mixed up a cross product somewhere in there. And they continually are like, well, if this amount of toothpaste is toxic, these 8 glasses of water are killing me. I'm like, well, you're definitely showing some neurological issues by thinking that's correct. But I think it's more that you just can't do math. But the people who are fluoride truthers, like when by the time you get to fluoride truthers, I think you believe in chemtrails. And I think that's something that Wolf believes are real.
I think he does. No, I think I had read somewhere that he has posted about it. Let me fact check that, or let our listeners fact check before I throw it out. But there's enough woo here to go around. Now, you are, of course, the Psy Babe. You have in your life worn lipstick, have you not?
That indeed is true. Lipstick has passed these beautiful kissers. I'm just saying.
David Wolf has warned about lipstick that may contain lead. He said there's a recent FDA analysis of 400 popular lipsticks, and they found lead in every single product. Unbelievably, the FDA insists these products are safe to use because they're not intended to be ingested. But should we not be concerned that eating, kissing, or drinking while wearing lipstick with lead might easily lead to ingesting some of the product? And he actually lists lead-free lipsticks for the safety of his viewers. You want to speak to lead and lipstick, Yvette?
I do want to have a chit-chat with that lead lipstick. Now, this is funny because this just speaks to another misunderstanding of David Wolf, Avocado Wolf, and chemistry. So there is, I'm going to even touch on it. I'm going to debunk two woos at once. So there is a possibility that a tiny, 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 infinitesimally tiny amount of lead is in these lipsticks. I'm not sure. I have not seen the scientific analysis. However, odds are if they're testing for it, they've seen that the levels are below a quantity that could possibly cause damage, because there are, quote unquote, and I know this freaks people out to hear this, quote unquote, acceptable lead levels. When we say parts per, you know, how much, what the concentration of lead is, we're talking into like at the most 5 parts per billion or far below there. I've seen the, at one point, I think I saw an analysis on the lead in lipstick, and it was to a point that it was ridiculous that this was even being brought up. It was just one of those, I'm going to scare you off of conventional products. However, this is one of those, the scientific hypocrisy of the David Wolf type things. Has everyone here heard of Himalayan salt lamps? I'm not sure why I'm asking this. I'm not speaking to a crowd, but pretend that you're all
nodding.
They're
all nodding. Yes. Okay.
You're all nodding at me from across the internet. So the Himalayan salt lamps that they all talk about, it detoxifies you. It takes the bad ions out of the air. It puts you in a better mood. It cures asthma and allergies with 84 element. Wait a second. 84 elements? There are 84 elements. There are only like 100 some odd elements. How can there be 84 of them? Well, I recently wrote an article in which I researched to find this analysis that said there were 84 elements. And the only paper we could find, quote unquote, confirming that there were 84 elements, it said that now this thing was from the Institute of Biophysical Research in Las Vegas, Nevada, an institute that we could find no actual proof ever existed. Like,
it's like a mobile home parked on the corner of one of the casinos or something somewhere, maybe.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. So in this research paper, quote unquote research paper, because there was no method of analysis listed. There were no parameters for this thing. I used to set up the methods by which we perform these types of analyses on new compounds in laboratories. So I know how to write one of these papers. I know how one of these methods should be set up. There was no method listed in the paper. There was nothing. It was just a list of elements in the salts with no authors on it. This wasn't a published paper. It was just a thing floating on the internet. This article I wrote was fact-checked by 4 other people. They couldn't find it.
Now, what's the pitch behind the Himalayan salt lamp, though? Is it supposed to emit certain elements? Are they supposed to be coming off of the lamp and I'm ingesting them?
I think it's supposed to emit ions, and it emits negative ions, and they get rid of the bad positive ions. My background's in chemistry. I checked this over with my boyfriend, he's an organic chemistry professor. I'm like, am I missing anything in here? Is there any way this could work? Because my background is more in analysis. He knows more of like the hard chemical structure type stuff. He's like, there's no way this could happen. But it's supposed to just get rid of the bad ions. But I think if you just say it gets rid of bad ions to people, they buy it because they think there's just bad stuff in the air that's killing you all the time. Like, yeah, there are pollutants in there, but there's nothing in a salt lamp that can get rid of it. Now, here's the thing. One of the pitches for these lamps is that it has 84 elements. And in this analysis, it said one of the elements was lead. So, I mean, it also said, I think one of them was polonium. Like, it said that all of these, you know, I think uranium was in there too. More elements is not necessarily a good thing. So you don't get to pitch that the Himalayan salt lamp is good because it has lead and then bitch about lipstick having lead in it.
I took the liberty of pulling up the David Wolf website. Allow me to read for just a moment, Yvette.
Please do.
David says, salt is a beautiful thing. Not only does it give our food taste and flavor, but it can also work wonders for your health when used correctly, as we've discussed in the past. Himalayan pink salt is one of the purest salts you can buy. Not only does it taste arguably even more pleasant than... look, a pop-up for the Nutribullet RX product. Hang on. I got to close this window here.
He's my favorite bullet salesman, but that's...
I think it's like a $100-and-something blender or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, this is... Okay. We can get into
closing the window. I'm sorry. Let me close it. It does everything from balancing pH to strengthening bones and lowering blood pressure.
Now, here's a question. It can't be... Now, pure is the plain old NaCl white table salt that you can get that doesn't even have iodine added in. That's pure salt. That's what... If you want salt that's absolutely just the thing that you're getting, like in terms of like you don't want any chemical alterations, you want the white fucking table salt. This is not pure. Now, I found an actual analysis of it because I hunted for real literature that was peer-reviewed and published. The reason that it's pink, wait for it, It's rust. It's iron and cadmium and a few other things, but it's mainly just goddamn rust. It's iron.
So, that's not as romantic as the Himalayan pink salt, you know, which looks...
I want to believe, Seth. I want to believe. Yeah.
Oh, the article says, as all living systems, including human beings, are bioelectric in nature, the electrically charged particles affect the way we feel and act. And he gets into the positive and negative ions that you were speaking about. Wonders to reduce the amount of unhealthy positive ions in your home, energy level, concentration, allergy. This thing does everything. It just aligns my inner and outer goodness.
My chakras feel motherfucking aligned, let me tell you. But he uses a tiny little bit of something that someone might remember from high school chemistry and takes it way out of what's real. So, like, salt, when it's in a solution, can help conduct electricity because you have an electrolytic solution, because the Na and the Cl, they separate, and you get your positive and your negative ions, more importantly, your negative ions, and that can help conduct electricity. This is a good thing it's bad if you are, you know, swimming in the ocean and you don't want to get zapped because now you have salt water. But moving on, having an electrolytic solution is something that you can get from salt. I'm sure somebody's going to say I explained that poorly, but that's a quick explanation of why, you know, salt is quote unquote bioelectric and how he can take that horribly out of context and say that a solid chunk of salt is electric or bioelectric. But, you know, it's just so much bullshit in one paragraph. I don't even know.
It sounds so profound.
If you take that solid chunk of rock and shove it deep, profoundly up your ass, it's profound.
Our exploration, our journey, our foray into the weird, wild world of David Avocado Wolf continues here in just a second, as Cy Babe and I talk about a meme that was posted on the David Wolf Facebook page, which compared Adderall, the prescription drug Adderall, to crystal meth. Are people who are taking Adderall doing little more than ingesting meth? We're going to find out in just a second. Hang on. Talking here with Yvette Dontremont, the Cy Babe. You can find her website at cybabe.com. Our subject today is very, very alarmingly, terrifyingly popular wellness celebrity David Avocado Wolf. On David Wolf's website, he says that Adderall is as dangerous, or at least he implies that Adderall is as dangerous as crystal meth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Now, do you know anything about Adderall and crystal meth? Can we do a comparison here?
The chemical structures are similar, but that's like saying that your morning coffee is the same as cocaine. They're both uppers. They're both chemically similar, but one, you're getting a chemically pure product. You know the exact dosage. You're not fucking smoking it. And it's used successfully to treat chemical imbalance. The other one is crystal goddamn meth, for fuck's sake. Seriously.
Now, this is where it gets tricky, though, because I didn't see a lot in this particular meme said about it. He just had crystal meth or meth and Adderall associated together. And then I, as the viewer, draw that link. Oh, yeah. And of course, you know, no one has a positive view of meth unless you watch Breaking Bad, right? You're like, Breaking Bad.
I don't think anybody leaves that show thinking happy thoughts about meth. It's like basically everyone leaves that show worse than they started. I mean, there's $80 million somewhere buried in the desert. But other than that, it's a really, like, there's no happy ending for any. I mean, even, like, I don't want to ruin it for anyone because God knows the internet gets mad about spoilers 4 years after.
If you haven't seen it by now, I have no sympathy for you.
Yeah, it's like,
go for it.
The only one who lives and gets out of there is Jesse. And even then, he's not, I don't think he's a better human being by the end of that show.
But I mean, the subtext is this, right? Here's another pharmaceutical product that is aligned with a product that kills people.
It's just like the thing they're selling on the street. It's like, no, Crystal, I don't see a lot of people. Then again, I don't how just saying that I haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. But at the same time, how many people are there aren't a lot of, you know, Adderall labs blowing up in the Midwest. And just there are going to be a lot of 12-year-olds blowing up basement laboratories to make sure that they can study for their pre-algebra exams. That's totally a thing that's happening, David Wolf. You hit the nail on the head on that one.
You're saying, though, there are some chemical similarities, but we're talking about two different animals.
It's kind of like I said, though, it's kind of like saying that coffee and cocaine are the same thing. It's okay. They're that far removed from each other. They're both technically an amphetamine, but not all amphetamines are alike. I mean, MDMA is technically an amphetamine, but these drugs can have very, very different properties. Just because they're in the same drug class doesn't mean they're the same preparation, impurity, having the dosage and having them tested for safety. These things are very important, and I don't want to underplay that.
This doesn't fit on a meme. It's no use to me if I can't share it on social media in
exactly.
a sentence.
It's like the people who, somebody who makes, I mean, David Wolf has over 9 million followers right now. And you can be sure that those 9 million followers aren't all scientists and don't look at they're looking for a pretty meme they can share on Facebook. They're not saying, you know, what do we want? Peer-reviewed data. When do we want it? As long as it takes. Like, that's not their rallying cry, unfortunately.
You know, I heard the siren in the background, Yvette, and I figured somebody must have blown up an Adderall lab in your neighborhood. It just happened.
Again,
it's serendipitous the way it all came together.
This is what we do in Burbank, California. We blow up Adderall labs.
Do you follow this Deer Antler products?
I know that my brother, who's kind of a hippie, got one for my dog for Christmas.
No, I don't mean like a chew toy for the... I mean Deer Antler as a healing mechanism. Allow me to share just a quick soundbite. From David Wolf himself.
Deer antler is not a product. It's a cosmic substance. And it's an androgenic substance, by the way, very androgenic. And it needs to be taken with respect and understanding. And while we've been getting into this whole thing about estrogenic forces and then androgenic forces, you got to know that, hey, like deer antler is an androgenic force. And then why? Because it's cosmic in nature. It's elevating. It's levitational in its nature.
Dear God, he's just throwing words out there to make people think he's smart. Here's the thing. He kind of is doing, and you're going to laugh, he's doing a thing that I hate when bad science writers do it. And I've seen bad science writers do this before. It's this thing where it's like, I know a lot of big words. Let me show you every big word I know all at once so you think I'm smart. And bad science writers do this too.
David Wolf sells deer antler extract from the red deer from his website for $75 for a 2-ounce bottle.
Again, like, and it's funny, whenever somebody calls me a shill for whatever thing they're sure I'm being paid off by, God, look at my, zoom in on my empty wallet, I always assure them, if I wanted to be a shill, if I really wanted to cash in, I would use everything I know about the organic industry, all these bullshit artists, and I would start selling what they sell, because it is much easier to speak nonsense than to speak peer-reviewed data.
I mean, these alternative woo-meisters, the woo-sellers, that's big business.
They don't even have to put real substances into their pills, like all the supplements. Like, I'm sure you've seen these studies before. A few times, independent research studies, they've gone in, they've tested what's in the supplements, and they've seen that sometimes as low as a third of randomly tested supplements have had what they've claimed are in the supplements. And they don't do what they claim they do. They're not subject to any testing. So that's a little horrifying. So
what's the story? I mean, can I come up with any product and just put the stamp at the bottom that says this product has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and I'm off the hook? Am I totally able to say whatever I want once the disclaimer is out there? Because that just seems loaded.
I had an idea for that once. And it's now I need, here's the thing. I need a lawyer to look over it carefully and I need backing for it. But I had a mean idea, Seth. You know how people, like, one of the big things is detoxes and chelation therapy. People are all about the chelation because they're sure that their bodies have heavy metals and, of course, lead in them. So what we could do is get opaque little capsules and fill them with food grade glitter. And give the, and put them in a thing and use like the technical name for the glitter. Like, don't put that it's glitter, obviously, in there. And put a bunch of really vague claims on the capsules or on the bottle. And of course, right, these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. And put some other shit in there too, like guarana and vitamin B12. Or, you know, whatever other shit that you have to put in the capsule that makes people think it actually does a thing. Add in some chromium, make people think it's a weight loss supplement or something. But tell people that it's heavy metal chelation that you can see, and people are going to see glitter in their poop, and they're going to be like, oh, this stuff really works. I had all that heavy metal in me. And then the crazy bullshit believing people are going to be like going on Amazon and writing all the, I feel so much better. You could see the detoxing happening in, you know, when you went to the bathroom a few hours later, I need more of this to make sure it's all coming out of me. And I thought about it. I'm like, God, that would be the easiest way to get sued.
You would never work another day in your life.
Isn't that crazy? Like, but I mean, that stuff, number one, like food grade glitter is completely legal. But like the craziest part would be if I ever get caught doing it, admitting it's a scam, half the people would be mad and half the people would be like, where can I get more of those placebo glitter pills? Like,
no, they'd rush to your defense and they'd declare it was a conspiracy by Big Pharma or whoever, because you had discovered what they were trying to hide. You know, we are often conspiracists, right? We love the idea of the little guy versus the big guy, David versus Goliath, you know, Robin Hood out there stealing from the rich, finding a way around these complex mechanisms for greed that are out there. And, you know, I want to come back to something that you had talked about when we were speaking about cancer and his food-based cancer cures and whatnot. And how, in some ways, what he says is sort of innocuous and amusing. But in other ways, as with the cancer memes and whatnot, they really do present some real danger. Another example of that, of course, is David Wolf's approach to vaccines. David Wolf posted a clip or a meme relating to the quote-unquote documentary Vaxxed.
I had to watch Vaxxed, actually, for another podcast.
What was your impression of the film?
Oh, my God. So, actually, that gave me some interesting insight. So, I had been invited to be on the show that they're – have you seen Vaxxed first?
No, I've only seen the clips, and I've read about Vaxxed and the background of the director and creator producer of Vaxxed, who is – I believe was removed from the medical community, right? He no longer gets to practice medicine because of his fraudulent claims, correct?
Well, here's the thing. The producer of Vax, it wasn't Dr. Andrew Wakefield. The producer of it, he introduces himself in the documentary as a medical investigative journalist. And it turns out he's the producer of the show The Doctors, and he's anti-vaxxed. I was invited to be on the show The Doctors when I had my first little video go viral. I had my first little homeopathy video, but back when I only had 10,000 followers get about 250,000 views, which for having that small of a site at the time was, you know, much more than I expected. I went on the show and they ripped me to shreds. And I just stuck to my guns and kept saying there's no, you know, every single meta-analysis on homeopathy shows that this doesn't work. And they kept going at me. And I think because I didn't budge the whole time, I'm sitting there going, this is not what I expected from a group of doctors.
Now, wait, how was that episode edited? Did they leave your rebuttals in there? Or did they slice you to ribbons?
They ended up pulling the clip.
They didn't even air the episode?
They didn't air the episode. I mean, they aired everyone else, but they didn't air me. And I was horrified. I'm like, at the time, I still had a day job other than, you know, cybabing. I skipped a day of work to go record that. So that was, I was a little horrified. And it was at one point, the doctor who's like the gynecologist on the panel, she does the applause line of turning to the audience and goes, the mind can heal the body. I'm like, I don't want you anywhere near my pussy, lady. Like, you don't get to treat cervical cancer now if you just look at your patients and goes, well, maybe the mind can heal it. No, I want chemo, you stupid bitch.
Like, doctors on TV, I mean, what's the story? Are they all Dr. Oz? So I mean, what's the story?
One of them is the brother of Dr. Bob Sears, the one who wrote, as they call it, the vaccine book. It should be called the anti-vaccine book. And the other, like, they're all they know they're all on the payroll of an anti-vaxxer. Because in this movie, you know, they start going in with this CDC whistleblower thing. And this guy called me because he wanted to tell us about this thing that was going wrong at the CDC. Now, we don't know, like, all they don't show us, of course, because it's a documentary. They don't show us in Vaxxed all of the audio from their calls with Andrew Thompson, the quote-unquote CDC whistleblower. Because eventually, Andrew Thompson released a thing saying, I do believe vaccines work, are effective, and children should get them. But they show us these tricks that we know work in documentaries. They show us the clips that fit their narrative, and they tell us the story as they want us to see it, to fill in the blanks around the quotes from him, around the bits of audio from his, you know, from the tapes from him. And I believe they even said in the documentary that he didn't know he was being recorded. But they were very pernicious about how they did all of that.
It's an emotionally charged piece of the clips that I have seen, right? They take these heartbroken parents who are sharing these anecdotes about the grief they've gone through in their own lives. It's very compelling stuff, and it just rips your heart out. It speaks to the compassionate person inside most of us, right?
It makes it sound like the CDC just ignored data that people were being hurt by vaccines. And the most compelling piece of evidence is that at the end, this person who is the producer on the show, The Doctors, this guy shows the research to two of his doctors, and they both say, oh, if I'd seen this before, I'd warn parents that there are caveats about vaccines. I'll think twice before vaccinating or something like that. Now, these two doctors are on his staff, and it's clearly a documentary he's making. And there's clearly, like, I don't think anyone who's, you know, anti-vaxxer goes in uncritically to this would stop to think, oh, maybe if they're already getting a huge motherfucking paycheck from him, there's that little string attached to him handing them a study of him saying, if you don't agree with me on this, I can find two other doctors who would love to be on television.
The film, directed by Andrew Wakefield, a former British physician and medical researcher. There was a science-based medicine article about Wakefield in the film Vax. There's a lot of good information out there for those who want to find out more. The bottom line is this. The touchy-feely platitudes are one thing, but when people go and they share all these things, sourced by David Avocado Wolf, and then they begin to see all of the other less innocuous stuff, it really does do damage. It damages ideas. It damages good information. It damages our pursuit of the truth. And that's why people are encouraged to stop sharing memes by David Wolf.
I tell my friends, even when they share a happy, fluffy little quote from him, I've turned into that jerk that just, it doesn't matter what the meme is that I see on a personal friend's page. I'm like, don't share from David Avocado Wolf. And I feel like I should just, every single time that a friend shares something from David Avocado Wolf, you send them a picture of your own cat. Send them a picture. You find another picture on the internet of a cat. Give them a replacement kitten. That should be a new drive. Replacement kittens for Wolf.
The reason you and I are speaking today, Yvette, is that there was someone on my Facebook page who's in my family tree who had posted just happy, clappy, innocuous meme. It was just a happy meme, right?
Yep.
And it was a David Wolf meme. And I gently jumped into a comment section and I said, this is the guy who thinks that gravity is a toxin. And I posted a link with David Wolf.
That's one of my favorites.
Actually speaking, right? He was actually his clip, so they couldn't say it was bent by the media or missourced or something.
And when you turn gravity upside down, it's medicine. That's the end of that quote. He's such a fucking muffin basket, isn't he? He's amazing. I mean,
I put that in the comment section, but 3 days later, they posted another David Wolf meme. And
no.
I thought, that's what prompted me to do this show, because
you're just being trolled by your relative now. That's happening. You're being trolled.
I know this person. They truly admire him. Trust me. Okay. This is the target audience for the doctors.
Oh, man. No, it's the sad thing is, I think one of my favorite things was David Wolf said in, again, it's the gravity thing. He said, we knew that gravity was just a thing that scientists said in the 50s, man. Like, I'm taking some liberties with the quote right now. But he said that in the 50s, we already had scientists who knew how to break free of Earth's gravity, and that gravity is just a lie. fly. I'm like, okay, how about this? You go take a flying leap and tell me how that works out. If this is, if gravity's all just a lie, go ahead. I'll bring you to El Capitan myself. All right. You go take your little flying leap and show us all that gravity's a big lie, sir. But
that is why I invited Yvette to join us. That sentence alone was worth the trip.
And here's the thing. It's not that I want him to die. It's that I want him to put his bullshit where his money is. And he said, there's a quote from him in video saying that he says in one frame that he doesn't care about money, and in another frame that he's the world's richest hippie. So he's, for all of his, I'm just here for your health, I want you to live forever, he wants your money. Don't believe anything else.
Yvette D'Entremont, the Psy Babe, you have been, as always, an amazing guest. I will link to your page, not David Wolf's, but I will link to your page so that people can go and sign up and subscribe and enjoy. What's your tagline? Come for the science and stay for the dirty jokes. Did I get that right?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to get me to stop saying dirty things. So I'm trained in science, but my brain isn't. We couldn't get it out of the gutter. I'm sorry.
You are too much fun, and you're a great guest. Thanks for being a part of the conversation and for helping us sort of expose the woo, and we'll catch you on the show soon, okay?
Thank you so much for having me, Seth.
Next Tuesday, our show is called Religious Family, Conditional Love. We'll share your stories about your own divides with religious families, the consequences you've paid, the challenges you face. What's it like when your family loves you conditionally because you are an atheist or not of their religion? And if you have a perspective on that, just drop me an email, podcast@thethinkingatheist.com, and I'll see you then. Have a great week.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.